Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself. We have with us here today from his offices in New York City, Noah Budnick, the project director, for Transportation Alternatives. How are you doing today, Noah?
I'm great, Martin. I'm great.
All
thanks
right.
For having me.
Great. Well, thanks for being there. This is pretty great stuff. I think our listeners are going to want to know, what does Transportation Alternatives do? What are you guys all about?
We are New York City's advocates for biking, walking, and sensible transportation. We work with New Yorkers, we work with community groups, with government agencies, and with our elected officials on transforming the city's streets into more livable places. We work to reapportion the streets that are devoted to moving cars into places where people can walk and bike safely and enjoy a high quality of life in the city.
Is anybody else doing that in New York City? Are you the advocacy organization for NYC?
We are the leading advocacy organization for biking, walking, and street safety improvements. New York is fortunate to have other organizations that work on public space and work on parks issues, and a lot of bike clubs that promote cycling. So there's a lot of overlap with these groups, and we have strong partnerships with them.
How big is Transportation Alternatives? How many members and how many people in the staff?
Well, membership, we have about 6,000 members.
Whoa.
And we have a staff of a dozen people that work on all the issues from biking and walking to senior citizen traffic safety issues and also popular safe routes to school, so getting kids walking and biking to school safely.
Okay, now you said 12 persons on staff. That kind of got a little bit fuzzed out by our connection here. Was it 12?
Yep.
Okay, so what percentage of your efforts there at TA are devoted to pedestrians, and what percentage are devoted to cyclists?
I think it's fairly evenly divided in terms of our campaigns and our resources, although we do have staff dedicated to each of our campaign areas. So we have staff dedicated to pedestrian issues, and we have staff dedicated to cycling issues. But even though we work on specific improvements for bikers and for walkers, I think the bottom line is that everything that we work on moves the streets into a safer direction. Everything we work on improves street safety, and so that benefits everybody. So if a pedestrian campaign is being waged to win speed humps in the neighborhood, pedestrians aren't the ones that are going to benefit from having speed humps. Bikers are going to also greatly benefit from cars that are going slower, because there's going to be less bike crashes, just like there's going to be less pedestrian crashes with speed humps.
You don't have a problem. I'm sure you're familiar with the name Robert Moses. Yeah, you know Robert Moses?
Yeah.
The guy that changed.
Of course, I've read The Power Broker, the great book about him.
So do you find that you guys are undoing a lot of the work that he kind of, the damage he did to New York City? Do you find that that's the case?
Well, I think that, you know, from what I know about Moses, his most damaging work was in the big highway projects that he laid through the city, destroying neighborhoods and flooding the city with traffic. And certainly that's, you know, we are countering those destructive forces with our campaigns to reduce car use and reduce traffic and to make neighborhoods more livable. In terms of specific projects that Moses worked on, the highways that cut through the Bronx, or say the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, those specific projects are not areas that we have campaigns based around. Although there are community groups that we partner with who are waging their own campaigns in their backyards to reduce the impacts that these Moses mega projects have wreaked on the neighborhoods where they live.
For example, the Verrazano Narrows Bridge that connects Staten Island and Long Island, that's not bike accessible, is it?
No, it's not. It was actually designed to have a bicycle and walking path on it, but the path has not been built.
Got it. So you've been with Transportation Alternatives for how long, Noah?
For about 5 years.
5 years? What did you do before you came on board?
I worked at an organization called the Institute for Transportation and Development Policy.
Oh, ITP. Sure, okay.
It's ITDP.
Right. Okay,
and
sure.
They're an awesome organization. They work internationally in developing countries on bicycle, pedestrian, and transit projects. So they work with local governments on developing better transit services and not building highways. They work with community groups on teaching people how to bike and on providing low-cost bikes so that people actually do have bikes and can ride and not have to walk or not have to stay home and not work.
So your advocacy work has been, sounds like you've been doing this for probably maybe 10 years possibly or so?
With bikes? More credit. I started at ITDP in early 2000.
Okay. All right. So in terms of college, are you a college graduate?
Yeah, I went to the Colorado College in Colorado Springs. I studied anthropology and international affairs there.
Did you think that when you were studying anthropological stuff that you'd be working with bicycles in the capacity within which you're now working with them?
Well, I've been a bike commuter for about 10 years before I started college, and I worked at bike shops. I've always been interested in biking and bike issues, and actually wrote my senior thesis in college about bike messengers and about the culture of bike messengers. And I guess that was my first entree into more of the politics of biking and not just looking at biking as a form of recreation, but as very nuanced and very complicated urban issue.
Were you ever a messenger?
No, I wasn't. But the bike shops that I worked at, in Boston especially, had a large messenger clientele, and so that's how I was introduced to messengers.
Okay, now I'm writing my book, How America Can Bike and Grow Rich. In writing it, I'm doing a lot of research about New York. It's three islands, three major islands, 8 million people, tons of waterways, harbors, sounds, things like that. How many bridges are there in New York City? Do you have that number?
A lot. I love the quick answer is that there's over 200 because there's small roadway bridges that cross over neighborhoods or cross over highways or smaller streets. But major bridges, there are, let's see how many, about a dozen or 15 major bridges. From the Narrows Bridge that we talked about before, between Staten Island and Brooklyn, there's the four East River bridges, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, Williamsburg and Queensborough bridges, there's also the Triborough Bridge, which is another Robert Moses project, and also the Bronx Whitestone Bridge and Throgs Neck bridges, which are major bridges that don't have biking and walking paths on them.
How many of those bridges you're now talking about do not have bike access?
Fortunately, the vast minority are not bikeable or walkable. There's only four major bridges in New York City that you cannot bike and walk across.
Okay. And that's one of them is the Narrows. Which ones are those then?
The Verrazano Narrows Bridge, the Bronx Whitestone Bridge, the Throgs Neck Bridge. Throgs Neck. It goes between the Bronx and Queens.
Okay. Yeah.
And the Bayonne Bridge.
Bayonne. Bayonne is, that's going to get to New Jersey here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, between New Jersey and Staten Island.
Right, right, okay. Huh. That seems like an important one of all the ones, as well, also the Narrows, if you want to make Staten Island, pull them into the bike mix there. You mentioned the Narrows, the Throg's Neck, the Bayonne. What was the second one that you talked about?
The Bronx Whitestone Bridge.
Bronx Whitestone. Okay, got it. All right, excellent. Now, you are the bridge director there, bridge access director, is that correct?
Well, that's one of the major campaigns that I work on, yes.
Well, okay. One of the big things that you work with is bridge access. Am I correct in assuming and or saying that because there is now accessibility to the bridges, you've taken care of the stairwells that used to keep cyclists from having to dismount that made it necessary for bike riders to have to get off their bike and then go upstairs to get on the bridges. Is it correct to say that it was transportation alternatives that took care of that problem?
Sure, we'll take credit for that. And it's been a long campaign that TA's constant pressure has certainly contributed to. The bridges have, a lot of the bridges in the city have been under reconstruction for 10 years, and we've been watchdogging the reconstruction, especially on the Manhattan Bridge, on the four East River bridges, to make sure that those bridges are bikeable and walkable and that the paths are easy and safe to find and bike to and from. And so we've led campaigns and worked with our elected officials and community groups to make sure that the city's Department of Transportation has maintained the paths on those bridges.
So how long has TA, I should have asked this at the very beginning, how long has TA been in existence?
For over 30 years.
Whoa.
Founded in 1973.
Wow. Since 1973, my God. So you guys came about pretty much after the Moses era had ended, huh? Because he was done from there. You got pretty much Janet Jacobson or whatever it was, got him pushed out around 1968. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think Robert Moses' career ended in the early 70s.
Okay. And you guys picked up where he, to kind of undo some of the damage he left New York with then, huh? Wow. What can you tell us about the Brooklyn Bridge?
Brooklyn Bridge is amazing crossing and is one of the most heavily biked bridges in the city. It's the only bridge in the city that does not have a 7 or 8 foot high chain link fence enclosing the biking and walking path on it. It connects downtown Brooklyn, Brooklyn Heights, and lower Manhattan, and connects people from New York City Hall into downtown Brooklyn and where Brooklyn's Borough Hall is. And on the Brooklyn Bridge, the major campaign that we've been working on recently is to improve access on the Brooklyn side of the bridge. That's actually the most dangerous intersection for bikers in all of Brooklyn. More people have been hit by cars at the entrance of the Brooklyn Bridge in Brooklyn than anywhere else in the borough.
Whoa.
And so we've been working with community groups to convince the city to build a safer entrance to the bridge path. Hmm. And last year the city announced that it was going to start studying building a new entrance. And, you know, while we know that a study is the first step, you know, we want them to be actually working on the plans and building it. And so we continually watchdog the city to make sure that they keep up momentum and make headway with this project.
Which kind of brings me to a point then, the subject of this interview of sorts, or the reason for this interview. You went down on the Williamsburg Bridge. Was that the one that you crashed on?
It was underneath the Manhattan Bridge.
Manhattan Bridge.
In Brooklyn, yep.
On the Manhattan Bridge. Okay, so you crashed on the Manhattan Bridge, and that connects what to what?
That goes from, it pretty much connects Chinatown in Manhattan with downtown Brooklyn area.
Hmm. So do you have any recollection of the circumstances of that crash? Or?
No, I don't.
No? Okay. Have you been able to piece together anything? Has anybody been able to figure out what may have happened? Did you Was it, were any cars involved? Was it just uneven pavement surfaces or something like that? Or
all I know is based on conversations I've had with the police officers who've been investigating the crash, mm-hmm. and from what they found, they think that I crashed because I hit a very, very large pothole that was, I think, 8 inches or a foot deep and was probably 2 by 3 feet wide. And the officers did interview drivers who were nearby, and they interviewed 3 drivers multiple times, and based on the interviews and based on examining the cars and my bike, the officers don't think that there was a collision between a driver and me that caused me to crash. They think that it was a pothole that caused me to crash.
So how long were you were in a coma as a result of this, is that not correct?
A mild one, yeah, for a few days.
What other injuries did you sustain in that crash?
Just mainly bruises. Mm-hmm. Aside from having a traumatic brain injury, I was, I guess, lucky. I didn't break any bones or suffer any major internal injuries.
Huh. Being a veteran and a survivor of head injury myself, all I can say is welcome to the club. and any head injury, as I'm saying this for our listeners, is something that is not to be taken lightly. It's serious stuff. God, congratulations, Noah. Is that, you sound like you've not lost a step. are you feeling like there's anything that is still kind of hamstringing you around this?
Well, I'm taking my time with my recovery and being very patient with myself.
So as a result of your crash, was it the Manhattan Bridge that connected?
Underneath the bridge. Mm-hmm.
Underneath the bridge. Now, what do you mean by underneath the bridge? What exactly does that mean?
That I had, where I crashed was not on the bridge itself, but it was on a street under the bridge.
Now, under the bridge means, is that an access point to the bridge, or is that, had you gotten off it, you already crossed it, or were you entering it, or how does that work? I'm not sure I understand that.
It was a street that connects to the bridge, uh-huh. and since I don't remember what happened, I don't know if I was coming from the bridge or going to the bridge.
Ah,
I just know that
okay.
the street where I crashed is a street that runs underneath the bridge.
Hmm. You're still riding a bike, by the way?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah? And how long after the hospital were you back on two wheels?
Actually, the hospital that I was at in Boston, the Spalding Rehab, which is a great hospital, had me biking as part of my rehab process.
Oh, so great.
They actually paired me up with a physical rehab sports program that they have, and had me out with a physical therapist on a bike, and that was about April. It was about a little less than 2 months after my crash.
Wow! So you were actually outside rolling around on a bike, or was it a stationary bike?
No, I was. Well, they had me on a stationary bike immediately when I started my physical therapy, and then about a week after that, they put me on a regular bike, and we went and rode a bike path in Boston.
Wow. Okay, now be honest. Was transportation alternatives and all the great work you've done with bridges the last thing on your mind when you were going through all this?
Well, in the beginning it was. Yeah. When I made progress with my rehab, and I was talking to my colleagues and to my boss about things that were going on in our world at work.
I guess that helps me kind of get to the point now where I can just ask you, what kinds of things are you, what is transportation alternatives pushing for right now?
Well, we have a couple of major campaigns that we're working on right now. Our biggest major campaign is called the New York City Streets Renaissance Campaign, where we're working with community groups and business groups and planners on creating new pedestrian spaces around the city, and looking at examples from cities like London and Paris that have reclaimed major streets and given them back to pedestrians to improve business and improve quality of life in their cities. And so we're starting to push that here in New York. We're also working on a major seniors traffic safety program called Safe Routes for Seniors, where we're working with senior centers around northern Manhattan and identifying reasons why seniors don't walk and making recommendations on to combat the safety issues why they don't walk, like finding ways to give seniors more time to cross the street or making streets safer, making seniors more visible on busy streets where they walk on a regular basis. Major bike campaigns we're working on right now are pursuing a study of bike crashes that we'd like the city to undertake, because unfortunately this year New York has had a tremendous number of New Yorkers killed in bike crashes, and it's really alarming to us, and we've been pushing the city hard to take action, because it's been business as usual for leaders at the Department of Transportation and the police department, even though more people have been killed in bike crashes. So we've asked them to do a study similar to what was in Toronto, and to look at the last 10 years of bike crashes and to identify the causes for the crashes, and based on that, to come up with recommendations to improve street safety for cyclists.
How many people would that be? How many crash victims this last year have died in New York?
Since January, 21 New Yorkers have been killed in bike crashes.
Oh, my God.
That's compared to 15 people killed in all of 2004 and 13 people killed in all of 2003.
Wow. Huh. Well, now that I've kind of slowed things down a little with my interruption there, I also want to know, and I'm looking at my notes here, I forgot to ask you when I got distracted by kind of a little bit of a glitch I had here with this recording and stuff we're doing. What kinds of speeds are we looking at on these bridge approaches, the on-go and the off-go, the oncoming traffic, the people are getting off the bridges? Are you looking at 50, 60, 40, 30? What miles per hour speed are the cars traveling at that the bikes are trying to merge with?
Well, all the bridges have physically separated bike paths. They're not – bikers don't have to ride along with traffic.
I'm talking about
separate bike paths.
I'm talking about the approaches, though. The approaches.
And so the approaching traffic, we haven't done a radar study recently, but anecdotally, I would say that speeds range certainly above the city's 35-mile-an-hour speed limit, probably closer to 40 or 45 miles an hour.
Hmm. And how many of them have potholes in the approachways?
Up all of them.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah, I mean, potholes are unfortunately a fact of life for everybody in the city, and it's something that, especially on bike routes, we've asked the Department of Transportation to conduct special surveys and to routinely look at bike lanes and bike routes that lead to and from bridges, because those are very, very heavily bike streets, and they should get special attention, and the city should make sure that they're safe because they see a lot of riders.
Jeez, no doubt. God, I think what I want to do is I want to kind of ask you if you've had anything you'd like to add about the current push there at Transportation Alternatives. We left off, I think, talking about the seniors and then the study about the traffic deaths. I may have interrupted you. Was there anything else that you wanted to add?
Well, another campaign for bikes that we're working on this year is to affirm New Yorkers' rights to park their bikes on the street.
And oh, yes.
At the end of the summer, we've been getting a lot of complaints from people who have actually gotten bike parking tickets from the Department of Sanitation, because the city's sanitation workers have written people up because they say their bikes block the sidewalk, which is not the case. And in other cases, the police department has actually cut people's locks and taken their bikes. And this kind of these kinds of actions are, not only do they discourage biking, but they make it impossible for people to bike. I mean, when the police takes your bike, you can't get it. It's that simple. And parking is obviously critical to being able to ride your bike. If you're going to the store, if you're going to a friend's house, if you're going to the park, you can't bring your bike into the grocery store with you.
Right. Right.
Or into a museum. Uh-huh. And for businesses that deliver by bike, if a restaurant is delivering by bike, then their delivery people need to be able to park their bike and then bring their food up to somebody's apartment building. And so bringing it up the stairs isn't enough. So, you know, for not only for the 120,000 daily cyclists, but for the 5,000 people that work as commercial cyclists, they need to be rest assured that they're not going to get a ticket or have their bike taken by the city if they park their bike on the sidewalk.
Jeez. I understood that was going on, and that was kind of an outgrowth of the RNC and also some of the problems there with critical mass and Time's Up and things like that. But it continues, and it's still going on.
Yeah, and as you said, it started with the Republican National Convention and the police taking people's bikes from the end of critical mass rides, and has now evolved into people's bikes being taken just at any place at any time.
Hmm. Wow, that's scary. That's really scary. Okay, well, on that note, I want to ask, now that we've had this opportunity to spend some time with you, Noah, it's been an honor. You're most articulate, and you haven't lost a step, I'll tell you, man. Getting your bell rung has been something that is not at all evident in what you've communicated with us today. Anything you'd like to add before we wrap up here?
I guess being a committed bike advocate, I have to encourage people to ride their bikes. I don't know if I'm preaching to the choir of your listeners, but you know, everybody knows how great it is to ride a bike, and you know, for me, it's still an awesome thing to do. I light up with a smile every time I pedal, and I hope that it's the same for you and for everybody listening.
Right on. You're car free, I assume.
Oh, for sure.
Right on. And are you a fixer?
I do have a track bike.
Yeah.
I have a couple bikes.
Uh-huh. Great.
Yep.
All right. Well, Noah, it's been an absolute treat and just a wonderful exercise to get to talk to you today. On that note, I'm just going to say goodbye and tell our listeners that this has been Noah Budnick. And thanks, Noah. This has been great.
Okay. Well, thank you, Martin.
All right. I'll talk to you again soon, man. To find out more about transportation alternatives, go to transalt.org. That's TRANSALT.org. That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com. To access this podcast in the future, and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com. That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG Director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com. To access this podcast in the future and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.